Well, a landlord has been ordered to live in one of his apartment buildings with no heating or hot water. A judge told Richard Nauman to suffer along with the tenants of his two apartment blocks in Cleveland. The municipal judge ordered him to wear an electronic tagging device to make sure he complies with the house order. He's 47 years old. He can leave the apartment only to go to work between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. The house arrest will continue until the judge says he's assured the buildings are in compliance. Gas was cut off more than a month ago at Nauman's apartment buildings because he owes the local gas company nearly $90,000 in past bills. And of course, on Thursday, it's also not only a full moon, but what is called a blue moon, because we will have two full moons in the month of May. Isn't that something? That's why it only happens once in a blue moon, right? Let's go to the phones. Wild card line, it's your turn. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Austin, Texas. Really big service you did with that, with 3 hours.
You're previously. Welcome, and I love Austin, Texas. Every time KLBJ has their talk fest, I'm
and
out
we,
there.
And we love you here.
Thank you.
I wanted to mention that I'm holding in my hands the 103rd Congress report of Select Committee on POW and MIA Affairs from 1993. Philip Corso is mentioned in this book. He was interviewed. Corso was heavily involved in this issue for close to 20 years.
That, you know, that's true. Philip Corso, of course, the one who wrote with Bill Burns the book The Day After Roswell, was also a huge person involved in POWs and other parts of the administrations.
Yes. And I also wanted to, one of the callers asked why there weren't missions or attempts to go snatch one of these POWs. There were numerous attempts, and Ross Perot, who I believe you brought his name up, was funding these through Beau Greitz. I just mispronounced his name, but the former Green Beret soldier went to Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia more than once, and Ross Perot was funding those. Ross Perot's always been a heavy funder of veteran issues.
You've given me a great idea, because after this interview with Bill Hendon and Elizabeth, I think I'll get Ross Perot on here.
Oh, that would be great.
Yep. And yep, I will tell him. I'll just lay this right out. Maybe he has seen this book, An Enormous Crime. Maybe he hasn't. But we'll talk about it and see what we can do to get these people back.
Well, you have a great evening, George. Thank you very much.
Okay, sure thing. I mean, we're going to do all we can. I think it's disgraceful that we would leave POWs behind when these guys give their lives for this country, and then you simply walk away from them. You walk away from them? It's abominable. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there. Hello?
Ryan from El Paso, Texas.
Hi.
Hi. George, it's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you.
I've been trying to get on for months.
Well, you got it tonight.
Yeah, I know. It took me forever. I want to tell you that Colter talked about sleep paralysis, and when I first started listening to your show a couple years ago, that's what got me hooked. Somebody was talking about that. I wanted to just talk about the connection between sleep paralysis and astral projection.
Okay, and also, you know, there's the old hag syndrome. You got to throw that in the mix.
You know, exactly. Like, you know, I looked into, like, the scientific of it where, you know, supposedly that, you know, the brain sends messages to your major muscle groups every night so you don't act out your dreams or whatever. But any time that I've had an episode of astral projection, it's always started with sleep paralysis. And, I mean, it's kind of the point where I'll fall asleep and I'll actually hear myself snoring and I'm completely asleep, but, you know, I'm totally awake at the same time, you know what I mean? And just wondering, you know, when you will have people on that will, you know,
constantly we'll have people on to talk about issues like that. And sleep paralysis is a real condition. I mean, that is not tied into the paranormal or the unusual at all. But then you have these real ones, these experiences, OBEs, out-of-body experiences, astral projection, one and the same. Those do happen. Those are real. But to me, one of the fascinating aspects of all of this happens to be that old hag syndrome. And that's this decrepit, really old, gray-looking woman with messed up hair, with warts on her face. Am I describing anybody you know? And she just comes into your room and it's awful. You know, when she would come into rooms with children, many of these kids would grow up as adults sickly. They'd just be sick. It's an incredible syndrome. But in terms of your ability to have astral projection tied into sleep paralysis, I think what's happening to you is right before you leave your physical body and your astral body starts to pull away, that's what's happening. Your physical body's getting locked up, and then your astral body moves and is floating. And I'm sure you've had that feeling when the astral body comes back into your physical body. You feel that jarring effect. Everybody has had that. You wake up in a jump. You know what I'm talking about. Let's go back to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
MJ from Northern Kentucky.
Hey, MJ.
Listen to you on 55.
What would MJ be? First name, Mary or Marjorie?
Mary.
How about not bad, huh? How about that? And the J would be for Janet.
No, Joe.
Oh, well, that I would never have guessed.
No, you never would have. Well, they named me after two of my relatives. I said Mary for a grandmother and Joe for a grandfather. And I said, well, it's a good thing his name wasn't Chester. I'd have been really in trouble.
Yeah, we got
to tell you.
Do it fast because your line is scratchy.
I wanted to tell you, everyone that has a computer, please, whatever you do, look up National Presidential Directive number 51 and also the HSPD, that's the Homeland Security Directive number 20.
You know, there's one coming out right now that says that all jobs have to go through Homeland Security first. So if you're going to be looking for work and you get a job, they basically sign off on it. I mean, where are we headed? And that directive, of course, is what we were talking with Jerry Corsi about last week that has created a furor all around the country. It's that's a big story. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Your phone was crackling. That's why I had to get you off. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks.
This is Alan in Beaumont, California.
Yeah, what's going on?
You know, I was just kind of curious if, you know, it kind of seems like lately there's a lot of negative energy going around, and I was just wondering if I'm the only one who's, I guess, sensing it.
No, there's many, many people feeling it. I don't know if it's because people are feeling some impending doom, maybe an earthquake. I had somebody on last week who thinks there's going to be a big one in Southern California in the next couple weeks.
That kept me up for a couple hours.
You think that's what you're feeling?
I don't know. It seemed like a couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, you know, everybody around me felt really good and real positive and everything. Seems like lately just everything's really, really down and just not. It feels real negative energy.
People seem to be, in terms of their abrasiveness, much shorter than they normally are. They're snappy.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm seeing that too. As a matter of fact, some of my dear friends that you would never think would go over the edge have gone over the edge, and there's no explanation for it.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Now, I wonder if we're all kicking into this collective consciousness together and we're feeling something.
That's kind of along the lines of what I was thinking of, but I couldn't think of the words. It's been so long since I've thought about it, you know?
I hope it's not, but it might be. And we'll just have to sit back and find out, I guess. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Pam from Ohio.
Hey, Pam. How are you?
Hi, hon. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I got a quick comment regarding your last hour about the POWs. Let's not forget about Matt Maupin, the United States soldier who's still missing. He's our one and only MIA as of today for the current war that's going on.
So true.
And then what I wanted to talk about was...
And what was the name of the one during the first Iraqi conflict?
Oh, I don't know.
Last name was with an S, Stricker or something, I think.
Well, I have to look that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I sing in a Christian rock band. I'm on MySpace constantly.
You do?
Yes.
Well, you're going to sing a little song for us before you're off it. A little acapella.
Well, I might. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was, as I'm reposting bulletins, and by the way, I am a member of your MySpace site. I love it.
Well, it's not ours. It's somebody else's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, I come across a lot of stuff on 9/11. Now, I didn't know about this theory until March of this year when I joined MySpace and started our band site. But have you heard or seen anything on this stuff, George?
About it
was an inside job.
We've covered that for years on this program.
What is your opinion? Because I've only recently started listening to you. I'm sorry to say, and they're showing photos and videos, and then the World Trade Center 7 collapsing, and I don't know what to think about that.
I think building number 7 was taken down. It was not heavily damaged and it went down, and I think they took it down on purpose.
Right.
In terms of culpability, I think there were members of government who were aware that there was going to be something, and for whatever personal reasons, they decided not to push the trigger. They decided not to do anything. I am not saying, and it is so important people understand where I'm coming from, I am not saying that our members of government, the president, was aware of it, was behind it at all. And, there are some conspiracy buffs out there who believe that.
Right.
But I do believe that there were some in government who knew it was coming down and decided, you know what, let's just let it happen. And if it does happen, look at the things we can do. You know, we can make money with the military. We can do all these things. Was Bin Laden involved with his group of terrorists? Absolutely. Who was behind it with them? Who pushed them? I don't know, but I do think there was a group involved with them. I don't think they did this and concocted it by themselves.
Well, I appreciate your comment on that. And just one last thing, if I may. Regarding missing children and adults in America, I just want to keep the thumbs up on everybody searching and keep them in their prayers.
We're going to work on something with John Walsh, by the way, for missing children, because we get so many millions of hits on our website. I've channeled Tom to work with his organization where we can have a picture of a missing person, missing child on our website. Who knows? Maybe one person has seen them, you know?
That's what I say, George, and I'm a big bulletin poster on MySpace, and I'm constantly reposting missing persons information daily, and it just tears my heart out. I just want America, and I'm pleading to my fellow entertainers in the business to also post the information, folks. You know, you've got a large fan base. Let's get the pictures out there. Let's get these people found.
Yeah, you know what? And all you have to do is find one, and it's worthwhile.
That's right. That's right. The two boys they retrieved not too long ago.
You know what? I go back and forth between Los Angeles and St. Louis, and that guy's apartment, the guy who's been charged with those two kidnappings, is about 14 minutes away from where I am. And I know
unreal.
I know exactly where he is. And in some cases, I drove down those streets, and I'm saying to myself, I wonder if I even looked at these kids, and that's who they were. But unless you see them a lot, either in a newspaper or on a milk carton or someplace, you're not going to remember that.
Well, I feel like the mothers who take their children to school, who are, privy to seeing a lot of children on a daily basis, those might be our best target to try to get to, George.
Yeah. By the way, it was Scott Spiker was our first MIA in the Gulf War, the first Gulf War.
That is true.
Now you got to sing a little thing for us here. What can you do?
If you let me tell my website, I will.
How about you sing first? I'll judge your song, then I'll let you tell your website.
Our songs, we've got four of them posted on the website already. All right, I'll sing one that's not on the website, and it's a little bit of a ballad.
Just give me about 30 or 40 seconds worth. You don't have to do the whole thing.
It's called Whisper.
Whisper. All right, go ahead.
Whisper, to my spirit, Lord, please awaken my soul. Speak to me with love, my Lord. Make my heart again whole.
All right, give us your website.
All right, thank you, George. It's www.myspace.com/lestweboastforgod.
All
right. LESTWEBOAST, the number 4, God, G-O-D, all one word, all lowercase, no spaces.
I love you, George.
Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, I normally don't get those websites out like that, but you deserve it. Let's go back to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
George?
Yeah.
Hey. This is Justin from Cortland,
Ohio. Hi, Justin.
Ohio. I have a question.
Okay.
Recently, my grandmother has seen an angel in her bedroom, just kind of appeared to her.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, she said it's reached out and touched her on her shoulder and her nose.
What's the angel want?
I don't know.
How old is your grandmother? Is she in good health?
86, and she's in... For her age, she's in very good health.
Well, let's hope she sticks around for a long time. Does she say what the angel says to her or anything?
She doesn't say it says anything. She just said it appears and it kind of reaches out for her and then it disappears.
Is she comforted by this or scared?
It kind of scared her at first. But the question that I have is can something evil disguise itself as an angel to, you know, something that's trying to hurt her? Could something like evil just, you know?
I don't think so. My guess is that I don't think evil will go that far to do that. It will possess people. It will shapeshift into things. But I don't think it would take the form of an angel. I think that's almost like a violation of their oath.
Of their oath?
Yeah, I really do.
Well, ever since that she said this, I've been to her house since then, and I've kind of got like that weird feeling, you know, that you know, there's something.
Does your grandmother even think it could be evil?
No.
No. No.
Not at all. She said she didn't get that feeling, and
yeah.
I'm real into, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I like to investigate those kind of things, but.
The big question is why is the angel visiting her? How long has it been going on?
It just started a couple weeks ago, and it came three times, I think three or four times.
Well, I guess just monitor it and see what happens. I don't want to say, you know, it's her time and maybe the angel's there to comfort her, but
right.
Just monitor, see what happens.
I will keep you posted. Sir.
Okay, yeah, love to hear.
Excellent work. Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, we've got open lines for you on Friday as well. And I shall be back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast. If you want to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the many breaking stories we have posted under Hot Stories. It's really neat. By the way, the website is going through a full remodeling soon because we're bringing in some experts to work with Lex on that. You know, we've been talking about that for some time, but the day is near where we're going to do that. And for you Streamlink members, oh, you are going to love what's coming up eventually. On our next Coast to Coast program, Paula Harris joins us. We're going to be talking about her investigative work and looking for the truth about UFOs. I'm also going to talk with Paula about a story that's slowly making its way around the planet about the Vatican and what they might know about extraterrestrial life. Incredible story. So we'll talk with Paula Harris about that as well on Wednesday. So make sure you're part of Coast to Coast AM. And Ian and I will be filling in for Art Saturday and Sunday this coming week. And I'll also be in St. Louis on Friday in the cave, making a little run there for a few weeks. Let's go to the phones again, east of the Rockies. Hello there.
Hey there, this is Z from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, how are you? What's going on?
Well, first, I'd just like to thank you for being such a great patient interviewer. You're really good and detailed in what you do, and I thank you for that.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I kind of wanted just to share a spiritual or example of collective unconsciousness.
Sure.
Consciousness. I had this, like, younger delusion of grandeur, like, really trying to, you know, good vision, trying to want to change the world. But, like, I viewed it really largely, like, wanting to change the mass scale. And I don't know if you're familiar with the book Many Lives, Many Masters.
Oh, sure am, yeah.
Well, I was just reading through it, and with that thought process, I read like, the line when he spoke with a guide and said, you know, eventually you'll destroy everything, but it's better to, you know, work on the individual because that's what matters. And it kind of, like, tore me up, made me really upset, made me want to just, like, burst out in tears and just popped into my head, go to the lake, because there's lots of lakes around Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to the lake. This is, like, 2:30 a.m. No one's going to be really out there, and kind of just go out to a rock and say, world, you know, what am I supposed to do? You know, I don't understand, just because it was such a shock to me. I sit down on the rock, and then 10 minutes later, a person out of nowhere just comes walking up to me, sits down, and he explains his problems that he's having in life, and I explain my problems in detail. And with us, each other, explaining our problems, he, you know, we both, like, exchanged something that was just, like, wonderful. It was, like...
And you felt comfortable telling him.
Yeah, yeah, loving and caring. And I never met the guy in my life.
Was he real or some kind of...
Yeah, he was real.
Okay.
Like, he had his own story about, you know, being torn about his homosexuality and losing a lover, you know, in a really bad way. And they passed away, and I was torn about, like, trying to change the world. And then he helped me realize that, you know, at that specific moment, we just somehow chose to come to the same spot. You know, you can't discount that as coincidence. Cause there's
no, there is no coincidence. I don't think ever. And by the way, the book, talk about no coincidence, Many Lives, Many Masters, a regular Coast to Coast guest, Brian Weiss, comes on all the time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And a great guy. Thanks for the call. Let's pick it up. Gosh, what time is it? It's almost time to get off. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
British Columbia. I'm actually in Peachland.
Oh, yes. What's up?
Just waiting for the peaches to happen.
Soon.
Well, a couple months. Not that long away, though. It's been very beautiful here. Anyway, I just wanted to... share a note about positive thinking and how, like, you know, The Secret and many other people like Chopra, Dyer, Tolle, I don't know. If you just basically, what I'm trying to say, I guess, is you're letting me talk too much.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. First time caller line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is Johnny from East Texas. I was going to say that, you know, a lot of guys like me spend enough time over there that we speak the language pretty good. And I would think especially some of the guys like Peace Corps, for Christ's sake, that are very fluent, could fly under the radar better than your diplomatic types, who I don't trust anyway, to try to get some information to maybe verify. You know, this is such an important subject.
Absolutely.
It's been on my mind for years.
I kind of believe that we have left them behind.
Well, Chuck Carter brought this up years ago, and everybody kind of got their hopes up, and then it went away. And it breaks my heart to think that we've let it, you know, go get out of mind for too long, you know.
Well, it's been out of mind for too long. That's the thing, and we've got to be able to bring it home. And I'm going to try to get Russ Perot. I want to talk with him on the air. I want to see what his commitment is, and see if we can push this and get some kind of governmental action to get this thing resolved one way or another. Let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Well, if it isn't the son of Satan.
Me and the father are waiting to talk to you, George.
Well, we've been waiting to talk with you, Oscar, because we have a little challenge for you, if you're up to it.
I can assure you, I told Tommy, George, if I'm on the air with JC, you'll never hear from him again.
So you are accepting this offer?
I'm waiting for permission from the father, George.
All right, Oscar, because we, you know, we're going to have to side with JC on this one, Oscar.
You know, evil while I was in charge.
Well, I don't know. JC's kind of a different...
What do you say I come to the studio in Los Angeles?
No, Oscar. We don't want you in the studio.
But it would be so much fun.
Not like for us.
George.
Not for us.
Do you like snakes, George?
I don't like snakes.
I love Oscar. Snakes, George.
And I don't like clowns either.
I think that you ought to look for a demon with glowing eyes next time you look at yourself in the mirror, George.
Oscar, I want you to debate JC.
JC will never stand a chance against me, George.
Are you backing down?
I'm not backing down. I am a demonic force. That is the Almighty, George. I'm more powerful than an erupting volcano, George.
We're going to give you one solid hour with JC.
I will talk to the Father and get a hold of Tommy, George.
You got a deal, Oscar.
Goodbye.
That's the only deal I'll ever cut with the son of Satan. But wouldn't that be something? I get JC and I get him and I do this debate. I mean, the devil worshiper got scared when he heard JC one night, so he ran away from me. But Oscar will go toe-to-toe. I think it's the match of the century. I really do. And if you want it, fast blast me. I'm going to get this one done. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, it's John from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, John. Welcome to the show.
I've actually just finished my contract with the Marine Corps. I got out a year early. I was active duty for 3 years. I was listening to Bill Hendon talk earlier, and I have to say that maybe the government does know they're there, but the government does not care. When we sign that piece of paper, our contract, we become expendable. I'm a disabled vet now, and I've learned that once we are no longer usable, we're done. They don't care for us. They don't offer us anything. I served my 3-year contract, got out with a back injury. And I'm never supposed to run again. No pull-ups, no crunches. I can't do any type of physical activity.
Are you glad you served?
I am glad I served. I'm a very proud Marine. But I realize now that they're going to give me a $10,000 check and tell me to have a nice day. And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to live with what I got, even though it is a result of training through the Marine Corps.
And what about all the men and women who came back from Desert Storm with this Gulf War syndrome and... this government, as a nation, denies its existence.
They don't care for us. No matter what the disability, no matter what the problem, they look for the easiest way out. They offer you an amount, and you either take it or you have nothing. The VA does their best to take care of it, but it's not. It shouldn't be up to the VA entirely. The Marine Corps admitted to causing my injury, and is not only mine, but the injury of others. And they basically tell us, you know, here's this money. Don't say anything. Have a nice day.
Yeah. A little pension, I guess, huh? A little pension?
Very small. Yeah. Very small, considering the fact that I'm not supposed to pick up any more than 5 pounds. I'm not supposed to run, do pull-ups, crunches, nothing. I had to turn away from the job that I wanted to do as a civilian because of the injury. They could not take me with a law enforcement force.
How old are you?
21.
Oh, yeah, you're still, man, you're young. You got your whole life ahead of you.
So I can understand the fact that the government, I could even admit the fact that, yes, the government would know that they were over there, but they don't care. We were expendable. When the window closed to get these people back, the government's like, "Well, sorry."
Well, I'll tell you, we care, and we're not gonna let it die.
No, sir.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir.
Let's move to our wild card line and find out what you want on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning, George.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Kurt from Los Angeles.
Hi, Kurt.
I wanted to call and ask you about 1111 and if you've seen this number.
I see it all the time. I can't get away from it. I also see 111.
111 also.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, you know, this this 1111, I hope that for any listeners that are, you know, seeing it also, I hope you look into it. My opinion or my thoughts anyway are that it has to do with light. You know, in a binary code, you have zeros and ones. And zero has to do with nothing, blank, no fire. And one has to do with light or fire. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and so what I see is 0000 is obviously nothing, and 1111 is infinite potential, infinite.
How long have you seen the numbers?
Oh, I've been seeing this for about 7-8 years. I'm 25. So
it is crazy. You know, you can turn to a digital clock and you know what it's going to read.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just I mean, it's all the time.
You know what's funny, though? Lately, I've been missing it by a minute, which is also very weird. It's now 1:12 or 11:12 or 10. It's really weird. I haven't figured that out yet.
Yes, you know, I actually had the same thing happen right in the middle of April. I recently programmed a show about 11:11.
That's when it happened to me, in April.
Really?
Man, yeah.
Wow. Strange. We did this show, and we ended in the middle of April, and after that, it was about 11:11, and after that, I just started seeing it at 11:12. So I think maybe I'm calling out even to myself here just to remind myself and all of us, look for 1111. Look for light. This is going to be a big year for human beings.
All right. All right. And I don't know why I'm out of that warp a little bit, but I am. I'm looking at the numbers, and they're coming up short. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Bo calling from Alabama.
Hey, Bo.
Truck driver. I just wanted to ask you a question, if there's possibility for you to get some talk show host on that could comment on these subjects. One is the digital, the government mandating that everyone switch over from the analog TV to digital. And I just recently watched a movie with Denzel Washington in it called Deja Vu.
Yes, great movie, isn't it?
Yes, and the question that Denzel asked him in that movie was, I can see the video, but how do you get the audio? And that's my question. Is this digital technology that they're going to force on us, the government is mandating that we get it in our homes, are they going to have the ability to look through our TVs and see us, and also are they going to be able to hear our conversation?
Well, now that's a good question on both fronts. I don't think so, but there are pieces of equipment out there that may one day allow them to do that. But let me tell you something. It's at least wise of you to raise the question. But not in this particular case. I mean, years ago, they just decided to go to a higher definition. I know an individual who was one of those who basically invented high definition, and they just felt that we needed a stronger format, a better format. But I don't think it's for the government to peek into you. Not yet, anyway. Let's go to our next wildcard line. Your turn. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. I'm Mark. I'm calling from Puerto Vallarta, and I just wanted to do a little hypothetical comment here for you.
Okay.
Because of your comment that you made about the Department of Homeland Security wanting to approve jobs.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but you can't take that new luxurious job because, you know, you kind of stir up a lot of stuff, and you have some new interests that we really don't like, and we're really afraid of. You're going to be a threat to Homeland Security, so I'm really sorry.
No job. No job. Well, that's one of the things that you got to worry about. If your job has to go through them for their seal of approval, that's not the way to go. West of the Rockies, you're up. Hi there.
Oh, yeah. Hi, George. My name's Naomi from Fullerton, California.
Naomi?
Yes. And I had a really bizarre incident happen to me this evening.
What happened?
Well, it has to deal with the negative energy and the bizarre behavior that people are having in or now, and anger and that. Well, I was coming into my apartment from downstairs, and my neighbor across the way has a little girl. I've lived here about 2 years, and we've become friends. And even the neighbor next door, in fact, I pre-done him to dinner, and we've all exchanged gifts. And like neighbors, you know, borrow from each other and help each other in times of needs. And I even took the one neighbor to a concert when I won free tickets in March.
Oh, that's nice of you.
But this new lady moved in. I hadn't even seen her or met her before. And she has apparently this little boy. And he was playing with my neighbor, little girl, and showing her his new remote control dinosaur. And then she went in, it was about 8 o'clock for her bedtime, and we were just standing in the hallway in front of my door, but my door was closed, and I hadn't even unlocked it yet. And all of a sudden, his mother comes around the corner and just starts yelling at me.
For what?
And she's saying, and then her son, she says, stay away from my son, you're a crazy woman.
You're a crazy woman?
Yes.
That's what she said about you?
Yeah, she came on, and she was yelling at her all around. She says, don't go near my son. And she says, you're a crazy woman.
What'd you say to her?
You don't talk, and you're crazy, and don't talk to those other neighbors and that. And she mentioned, and then about 5 minutes later, after I came and said, I heard her at my neighbor's door, the one with the little girl, so opened my door. And they were standing right there, and she's saying to my neighbor and her little girl, and she dragged her boy with her.
Your neighbor doesn't think you're crazy, does your neighbor, your other one?
No, neither one of them do.
Okay, Naomi, you got to run. We'll talk more to you whenever you get back in. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, who's left? Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.